Good morning, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to CPFL Energia's fourth quarter of 2018 earnings conference call. Today with us are Mr. Gustavo Estrella, CEO of CPFL Energia, Mr. Pan, CFO of and Investor Relations Officer of CPFL Energia, as other officers of the company. The presentation will be available for download at CPFL Energia's investor relations website, cpfl.com.br/ir. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks, there will be a Q&A session when further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded. The conference will be held in Portuguese by Mr. Gustavo Estrella, with simultaneous interpretation into English, and we will have the participation of Mr. Pan, who will be addressing all listeners in English. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of CPFL Energia's management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they relate to future events, and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may also affect the future results of CPFL Energia and may cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, we would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gustavo Estrella. Mr. Estrella, you may proceed.
Good morning, everyone. I thank you for participating in our conference about the fourth quarter of 2018 results and the full year of 2018. Let's go to slide number three with some highlights of 2018. The first one is the increase in the consumption of energy in the load in our concession area, 2.7% increase, very much concentrated in the residential and industrial classes. It's important to highlight that this is the second year that we have over 2% increase after negative years, 2015, 2016, with 3%-4% market drops. In 2017, we had this recovery, higher than 2%. I would like to highlight the growth of the EBITDA, 15.9% EBITDA, and net income, 74.2%, a record net income of the company, and as well as a record EBITDA. Net debt closed at 16.3 billion reais, leverage reaching 3.05 net debt EBITDA ratio, with a drop vis-à-vis 2017. In 2017, the leverage was 3.20, and now we have 3.05. Another important highlight in relation of investment in the fourth quarter of 2018, investments amounted to 693 million reais, and for the year, over 2 billion reais, closing at 2,066 million reais. We would like to mention the tariff reviews, especially CPFL Paulista and RGE Sul and RGE, that occurred during the year of 2018. By the end of the year, on December 31st, we grouped the concession of RGE and RGE Sul. In January 1st, 2019, now we have only one concession in the state of Rio Grande do Sul, with the assets of RGE and RGE Sul combined. Regarding growth and the participation of the company in auctions, in the renewables auction, we won two projects. The first one is SHPP Querubim with 28 MW installed, and also the Gameleira Wind Farm with 69.3 MW capacity. Another important landmark is the startup of the Boa Vista SHPP that should be started at the beginning of 2020, and we brought it forward at over 1 year, so with startup in December 2018. Another important highlight is the participation in the transmission auctions. We had two last year, and we won one lot in CE with CapEx, 102 million reais, and two lots in December 2018. The first one on June 2018, and the CapEx was 366 million reais, the first one, and the second, 349 million reais. Together, the projects of renewable energy plus the volume of transmission, we are talking about an additional CapEx for 1.4 billion reais. At the end of November, we also had the auction for CPFL Renováveis. Controlling 99.94% of the share, State Grid now holds 99.94% of the share of CPFL Renováveis. Now going to slide number four, we see that besides the highlights of the EBITDA record, EBITDA, as I said, 5.6 billion reais. We see the distribution per segment of the EBITDA in distribution. Distribution continues to be the main one with 53% share. Conventional generation, 23%, and renewable, 21%. Lastly, the commercialization services and others with 3%. Here we have a highlight of our results, and afterwards, Pan will be talking about our results more in detail. We see an important evolution in the distribution segment. Our EBITDA going up by 8.7% in the fourth quarter and 34.5% in the full year of 2018, accumulated comparing to 2017. It's important to highlight the growth of the market that directly affects the evolution of our EBITDA, but the conclusion of our tariff review in our distribution companies as well. In the conventional generation segment here, we see basically the 13.4 in the quarter, 6.1 in the year, have to do with the long-term contract that we have, because here we don't have any new projects. In the renewable energy, we see an effect in the fourth quarter of 2018 due to the write-off of assets of 47 million. This is a non-recurrent effect with the impact only on this quarter. Because of that, we have a drop of 15.8% in the year. We see a drop of 1.1%. Pan will be talking in detail, but the main reason for that is the reduction in the volume of wind.
In commercialization services and others, the market is more general. The nature of the commercialization segment, we have here a drop in margin, and that leads to the EBITDA drop in the fourth quarter as well as on the year, 75% in the quarter and 26.9% on the full year. Moving on to slide five, we have here a little bit more detail. in the increase of energy consumption in the concession area in the fourth quarter of 2018, specifically the total sales in concession, we have an increase of 1.2%, 0.4% in the captive market, and 2.8% in the free market. We still have a bit of a reflection of that migration from the captive market to the free market. Now, looking here, when we break down per segment, the increase in the residential segment is 2.2%, followed by industry, that 0.9%, commercial 0.7%, and others, basically in the rural, of 0.6%. In the comparison by region in our concession, where our concessions are located, we compare CPFL with Brazil, where we see a growth of 1.2%, comparing the Brazilian market that increased 1%. In the Southeast, CPFL increased 0.6% compared to 1% of the region as a whole, and in the South region, 2.6% for CPFL, 2% for the region. Now, on the next slide, it's the same information, but focusing on the year 2018, so we can see an increase in sales in the concession area of 2.5%, even with the effect of the same effect of the fourth quarter we see here, the increase in the captive market of 0.5% and the increase on the free market of 7%. So that's basically due to the migration of clients from the captive market to the free market. Some of the highlights is the increase in the residential segment of 2.6%, with an effect over the year that was positive in the consumption due to temperature, especially in the RGE region with a growth of 3.7%. In the industrial class, on the average of the year, we have an increase of 2.8%. And the highlights are Piratininga with a 4% increase, RGE at 3.1%, and CPFL Santa Cruz at 7.6%. So for this year, the main highlights of the consumption segment that we have in our concession areas, as we see, is the motor vehicles, metallurgy, and chemical segments being the main classes contributing to this growth in 2018. The comparison by region, we see higher growth in all of them when compared to the country's growth in the comparison with the Southeast and with the Southern region. Now on slide 7, we have the hydrology scenario, and we can see a significant recovery in the reservoir levels throughout the month of March, with a more pessimistic expectation in the beginning of the year with a decrease in the level of reservoirs, but an important recovery on the average. In the month where we historically have a lot of rainfall, this is an important piece of data. So this recovery of the reservoir during the month of March. In April, we started April a little bit more pessimistic in terms of rainfall. So it's a slightly below average, but still at a good level. In the month of April, shall bring more recovery in the reservoir levels. So we should close at around between 48 to 49% by the end of the month. We see here in the spot price chart, the PLD, which is connected to the expectation of rainfall increase in the month of March, after the peak in February, where the expectation was of much less rainfall, but we come now to these levels. In 17, we see a curve that is suffering from an impact with the industry agents on the secondary and power in the beginning of the year, but with an expectation of higher levels in the second half of 2019. Moving on to the next slide, I will turn over to Mr. Pan, and he will talk a little bit about the details of the company. I would now like to turn over to Mr. Pan, and he will give his presentation in English.
Good morning. My name is Pan. I'm just here to represent the following slides. The first one is about revenue. In fourth quarter of 2018, our revenue, net revenue, is $6.7 million, which is 10% lower than last year. And in terms of the EBITDA, the fourth quarter of 2018, we have $1.3 billion, which is around $12 million less than last year. And in terms of net income, our fourth quarter income in last year is $617 million, which is $173 million higher than last year. That is 35%. Okay, in the following, I'll explain the variation of EBITDA. First, about the distribution, contributes around $58 million of increase. In terms of the market and tariff, we have $186 million of increase. The RAB adjustment is $63 million lower than last year. And in terms of the PMSO, we see $38 million of increase. Among this PMSO, we have legal and judicial expenses increased by $14 million. And in terms of the ADA, around $14 million increase. The second part is about the conventional generation. We have around $37 million increase compared to last year, the fourth quarter last year. Among this $37 million, we have price adjustment of contracts contribute $23 million. And ISS contingency in 2017 in Amazon, this kind of difference contributed $13 million. And the GSF compensation agreement with BAESA is $11 million contribution. And we have kind of the fiscal guarantee reduction that, you know, decreased the EBITDA by $9 million. And the third part is the commercial and service areas. We see a $52 million of decrease, mainly because of the margin in the commercialization side, around $14 million. And in terms of the renewable generation, we see a $56 million decrease. That is because of the write-off of the assets, which is $47 million. And also we have lower revenue from wind farms, of course, partially offset by the lower GSF impact and hedge. That is around $10 million. And in terms about the net income, we see a 34% increase compared to last the fourth quarter of 2017. That's mainly because, you know, we have a decrease in CDI and from 7% to 6.5%. And that contributes around $25 million. Okay, let's go to slide 9. This is the whole year numbers. In terms of revenue, 2018, we have 5.2% increase compared to the 2017. And the EBITDA, our 2018 number is $5.6 million, which is a historical high, and that is around a 16% increase compared to 2017. That is $773 million. And net income, 2018, we have $2.2 billion of net income, also the historical high, which represents 74% increase, around $923 million compared to 2017. Okay, in terms of this variation of EBITDA, I would like to explain as follows. The first, distribution side, we have a total variation of $770 million. That $770 million, around $641 million comes from the market and tariff revision we had last year. And in the financial asset side, we have the adjustment of $141 million. And the second part about the conventional generation, we have $73 million of increase compared to 2017. the price adjustment contract contributes $44 million, and GSF compensation adjustment $44 million, and the ISS contingency in Anakin contributes $13 million, and I have the reduction, as I mentioned in the previous slide, contributes negative $45 million. In terms of the commercialization of service sector, we have around 56 million of workers. That we have 74 million comes from the commercialization side, the margin loss. In the service sector, we have a margin gain of 8 million. And let's go to the renewable generation. We see a negative 7 million of variation compared to 2017. The CCE exposure, the surplus of deficit and the compensation mechanism, MCSD, and also the wind farms, we have around negative 33 million. And hedge of energy, negative 30 million. And we have a positive of 51 million of increase, you know, come from the higher biomass generation. And in the net income side, we have an increase of 385 million comes from the financial results. That is the reduction of the interest rate, CDI, contributes 406 million. Okay, next slide, slide 10. We have indebtedness of the whole group. You can see here in the fourth quarter of last year, we have a historic, around historical, but a very low net income over EBITDA ratio, that is 3.05. And our adjusted EBITDA in the last 12 months is 5.3 billion. And in terms of the gross debt cost, is 7.5% nominal. We exclude inflation in real terms, is 3.6%. And the breakdown of the gross debt, we have 64% is CDI linked, and TDLP, the BNDX, is 24%, and the inflation index is 7%, and we have the swap of the floating interest rate financing is 5%. Okay. It's very isolated.
So I come back on slide 11 of the Boa Vista CHPP, which is new, as I said, with commercial startup in the end of last year, with an installed capacity of 29.9 megawatts, 100% already operational. Now on slide 12. We see the two projects that we won in the last auction, A-6 of 2018. The first one is the Cherobim CHPP with an installed capacity of 28 megawatts, a project that we will initiate construction. Same thing for the Gameleira Wind Complex, 69.3 megawatts of installed capacity with the project to be structured begin the construction and the financing. On slide 13, we see our transmission auction. There were two auctions throughout the year. One in June 28, where we won lot 9 in the state of Ceará, with a contracted RAP of 7.9 million and the investment estimated of 102.2 million reals. In the December auction, we won two lots, one in Santa Catarina, with a wrap of 26.4 million reals and an investment estimated in 363 million. And the second lot, lot 11 in Rio Grande do Sul, RAP of 33.9 million and investment estimated of 348.9 million reals. On slide 14, we have our CAPEX program for 2019 until 2023. What we have here for the 5 years, CAPEX in the total close to 12 million is 11.938. And concentrated in the distribution segment with slightly above 10 billion reals, with investment close to 2 billion per year in the distribution segment. And since last year, we have additional investments in generation or the renewables project, but also in the transmission segment with the two auctions that we won last year. And here, finally, on the last slide, just to give you a highlight of the grouping of RGE and RGE South, as we were saying, in the state of Rio Grande do Sul, we have a new concession, will be RGE. So one concession with close to 3 million clients, 2.9, in 381 municipalities. And the capacity for synergies is a lot greater when we have one single concession. This concludes our presentation, and we would like myself and Pan to make ourselves available for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will have the Q&A session now, which will be in Portuguese with translation into English. In order to ask a question, please press star 1. In order to remove your question from the queue, please press star 2. Juliana Gergi from Claritas Investment. Hello, Estela. There's net income over 2 million reals was beyond even the most optimistic analysts. I have two questions, in fact, Estela. State Grid, when they acquired CPFL, it was 25 reals. And at the time, it was about 24 times pi. 2019, it would be close to 12 times pi. Do you believe there is a possibility of a follow-on, for instance, be below the price that they paid for? And this is my first question. And the second question is the following. Let's suppose you do a follow-on, having a primary offering. How much of the funds of the primary offer would be invested? Do you believe this could happen over 2019, what the gains would be? And what would be the destination of these funds, the other funds? Thank you for your question. First, regarding the price, we see an important evolution in net income. In 2016, we announced the acquisition, and it was concluded in 2017. In 2016, the net income of the company was 102.
and now it's almost 2.2 billion. In fact, it's a major recovery of our results, and this affects the price. So if we have a follow-on process of the company, of course, this is a talk that is just starting based on the perspectives and the results of the company obtained today and not 2016. In this case, it would be a follow-on issue based on the perspectives of the company today and not on 2016. We have a very different scenario today compared to 2016. And if we choose a follow-on path, we will be telling the story of CPFL today and not 2016. So the scenario is completely different, and we are just talking about that. And regarding the primary offering and the secondary offer, in the case of a follow-on, and in the case of a primary offer, we have many different alternatives ahead of us. One of them would be the acquisition of the participation of State Grid in RGU-Sul, and the expectation of synergies with the interpreters apologize. However, the sound that we are receiving here in the interpretation booth is totally impossible to translate. We are trying. We are doing our best. So we have a pipeline of CapEx of 24 billion reals less. Based on the expectation of a recovery of consumption, for the whole of Brazil, in general, in generation, this opens opportunities for additional investments. And we have also the expectation of distribution as well in this sense. Assets that could be financed by our possible follow-on if we choose this path. Well, let me take this opportunity and ask you another question. The decision about the follow-on, when this could happen, and do you believe it could be done by the end of May, which would be the 18 months? We could make a very fast decision, and this is on the table. This is being discussed today between CPFL and State Grid. And so we expect to have a very quick decision about this subject. And regarding the deadline, we're almost in April already. So any of the two alternatives they will be done or they will be carried out within this framework. Thank you very much.
Our next question is from Bruno Varela from Solana Capital. Good morning, Estrela. I have two questions. The first, in line with Juliano's question, how much time did you have? We're in the beginning of April. How long would you estimate for each of the processes, both in the MTO or re-IPO, and what you would have to need in terms of discussing with the stock exchange in terms of a term, a deadline? And the second question, in this last quarter in particular, there have been some increases in the working capital accounts, very relevant, and I had considered a cash generation of just around 1.3 5, and it came to a 1.4. And if you consider the basic accounts of EBITDA, CapEx, interest, and tax rates, you get to those numbers. And if we include CVA and a negative receivables account and providers, you can invert this 1.5 billion positive to 1.4 negative. CVA is clear enough, but I would like to understand the dynamics of the receivables from providers in your working capital. So first, in terms of the deadline, it's a challenge for us to estimate. Of course, in an MTO process, this is not 100% controlled by the company, so this process may be longer as we receive questions or discussions about the process on the table. So if it's a process without any surprises, it would be something around 2 or 3 months for its conclusion. But this could be much longer depending on how the discussions develop in the market. As for the follow-on, it also depends on a number of factors. So if we have an expectation that there's an open window with a regular term, that would be until mid-July, for example, for results, we could try to access that window, but the market is developing and the windows open and close very rapidly. So if we chose the path of the follow-on, we would be paying attention to that. Of course, we would not go to market without a definition that is very clear that there is a window that allows us to go to market for that operation. So without being too clear, but there are many factors involved, and they will be discussed at some point, and any of these processes will be addressed with serenity and following all the proper procedures for us to have the best operation possible. As for the working capital, an important point here, the company raised funds in December, and at the end of the year, we made use of the cash available to anticipate some payments, to advance some payments that would usually be done in the beginning of the year. We made in the month of December. Just making use of the cash available at the table. We can't see that effect yet, but the month of January, the payments that would have been made had been made, and we're starting with that on the working capital in January. So there's no structural change in the working capital flow. That was basically us making the most of an opportunity in the payments that had to be made. Thank you. And following up on the MTO or the re-IPO question, at what stage do you think this decision is at State Grid? Is this still at the State Grid international level, or has it been forwarded to the controlling shareholder in China? Considering how close the final deadline is, this subject is a top priority not only for us but for them as well. So we're at the last stages to have this decision shortly. Excellent, thank you.
Vladimir Pinto, Sharon. Good morning, Srila. Well, my questions have mostly been answered already because they were included in Bruno and Giuliano's questions. I would like to ask a question about CapEx. What about the wind farms, the auctions that you won? Are you going to bring forward the CapEx? Are you going to bring it forward to have a more short-term return? This was a very recent fact, that is to say, the auctions that we won. We are evaluating this possibility. And, of course, we are looking at this as an alternative. This is still being studied. It depends on many factors, the execution of the project and the grid connection. It's a little bit too early for us to say anything about this. And, of course, we will be analyzing this over the next few months to check if this is a real possibility or not. Thank you very much. Our next question will be in English from Roger of EY.
Hi, thank you. I have two questions. The first one is related to the page slide 8. What are the major components of the assets that were written off? Second one is also on the same slide. What is the major reason for the reduction of interest rate? Thank you.
Could you please repeat your question?
Sure. The first question, what are the major components of the assets that were written off in the renewable generation? And the second one, what is the major reason for the reduction of interest rate? Thank you.
Eu acho que eles não entenderam de novo.
中文，我这样可能听得清楚一点。 Very clearly, can you repeat again? Or if you can't speak Chinese, you can also, repeat in Chinese. We can also understand Chinese Mandarin.
Okay, I can speak English, so I can use English to ask my repeat my question first, and then I will repeat my question in Chinese later. My first question is related to the assets that was written off. What are the major components of assets that were written off? The second one is related to the reduction of interest rates. What is the major reason for the reduction of interest rate? And now I will use Chinese to repeat my question. 我的第一个问题呢是关于在第八页，资产核销的主要资产种类是什么？第二个呢是关于利率下降的原因，是什么主要原因使得公司的利率下降？谢谢。 Thank you.
So because right now the it's really starting to week. Okay, the first question actually is about on slide 8. We have mentioned here is write off of the assets. Actually, this 47 million of write off of assets is the we have some small projects, hydropower plants projects, right, in Himalaya Valley, and in the end we found that this asset is not, has little value to continue for the development. And according to the accounting rule, we found there's kind of impairment, so we did some write-off. The name of the project is Tombo Penedo, right? Mm-hmm. Tombo Penedo is, this is the project we write off. And in terms of the second question about the decrease of the interest rate, actually the decrease of the interest rate is the interbank short-term loan, short-term interest rate, CDI, which is the basic rate in Brazil. It decreased from 7% from 6.5%. This is from the central bank of Brazil. And because most of our financing, actually 64% of our financing is linked to CDI. We have this kind of, once we have this kind of decrease of interest rate, we have this kind of benefit in interest expenses. I'm not sure you heard it, clearly. It's not very clear. I can explain in Mandarin.
Yes, it's clear. It's clear. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We would like to conclude the questions and answers sessions. I will turn over to Mr. Gustavo Strela for his final considerations. Once again, thank you all for your presence and participation in our results conference call. It's an important moment for the company with record results in the net income or the company's EBITDA, and as important as the results, we also have a significant reduction in our indicators and an improvement in our quality levels. We've also broken records in with a decrease of 17.8% compared to 2017. So it's a record result with excellent quality indicators and an aggressive expansion plan for our CapEx, as we can see, with close to 12 billion reals in investments, with a very good result of growth last year. So we have an asset base that has quality, efficiency, generating results, and we see the possibility to bring future growth. So that's our scenario, a very positive perspective and outlook for 2019 and the coming years. So once again, thank you. Have a great day. CPFL Energia's conference call is now over. We thank you all for your participation. Have a good day.